during that game in Munich last week, I got a text off one of Pogba's family, and it just said, different animal.
You know, Mancini has wanted everyone to have fun, you know.
For the best Euro 2020 coverage, download the OTB Sports app and subscribe to the OTB Football Podcast.
The OTB Podcast Network with Get Set Go. Quick Start Car Insurance you can sort anytime, online, then bounce on with your day. Get a quote today at getsetgo.ie.
Let's talk about the Olympics. So I'm delighted to say Eve McChrystal is with us, who is a tandem pilot. Eve, good morning to you. How are you getting on?
Good morning. How are you?
Yeah, good. I'd say you've had one eye, kind of, but definitely on all of the shenanigans going on in Japanese politics at the moment and the debates about whether or not it's going to happen. It looks now more likely than not that both the Olympics and the Paralympics will happen.
Yeah, I think so. I kind of didn't really tend to really listen too much because I found it was just too much. I was putting on the radio and I could hear kind of negative stuff about Tokyo, and I suppose I just had to focus on myself and hopefully that it all worked out in the end. But I think we're nearly there. I think we've one step on the plane, so hopefully it'll go ahead.
So tell us what a tandem pilot is and how does that actually work? Because it's I think one of the joys of the Paralympics is everybody getting to understand exactly how each of the sports works and what everybody's role in the sport is. So you're a tandem pilot in cycling. What does that do? What do you do?
Yeah, so I suppose I'm on one bike. There's two people on it. I'm the pilot and Katie George Dunleavy is my stoker. That's her, I suppose, official name on the bike. And Katie is partially sighted, so she does have some sight, but she wouldn't be in a position to ride a bike on her own. So basically, she's at the back, I'm at the front, and I'm the eyes essentially on the bike. I have control of the gears, the braking, the decisions we make on the road. But when I say decisions, so does Katie. There's a big communication piece on the bike. So we definitely move as one unit. I would just be the eyes and, as I said, select the gears and the initial move in a road race or, you know, that kind of thing. But
yeah,
we're definitely a team.
And are you shouting at each other? Is it like over the wind, or have you reached the point now where it's kind of like just, okay, let's go, I'm tapping on the shoulder? How does that work?
Yeah, no, Katie would say, she knows by my body language, she would always say if my left shoulder dips, there's something happening or I'm under pressure. So she kind of knows by my body language at this stage. But if as I said, Katie does have some sight, so she will see a bike coming and she will nearly tell me before I see it. So but we kind of work well together. And as you said, we've been together for years now. So we do know each other inside out when it comes to racing a bike, that's for sure.
Our colleague Cliona Foley wrote a great piece about that partnership a while back. I think it might have been three or four years ago, about you guys coming together. You were introduced, but you were complete strangers and just had to decide very quickly about whether or not this was going to work. How did that all come about? How did you end up volunteering to become a pilot?
Yeah, no, I didn't volunteer. It was a bit of a different process in that Katie was in London. Her pilot was Sandra Fitzgerald at the London Paralympics. And following that, Sandra stepped aside and there was a position there for the pilot. So Cycling Ireland were looking for a new pilot. At the time, the Irish National Championships were held in Carlingford. It was 2014. I was bronze medal in the time trial. And following that result, I was asked by Neil Delahaye, he's still our coach, would I try out for the position of pilot? And I was tested in the Institute of Sport and I got the seat.
Right.
After that, then, I think Katie has family in Swords. I was asked to be at Swords on a particular day, a particular time, and the tandem was there and hopped on the bike. I didn't have a clue what I was doing. There's a lot of roundabouts in Swords. Navigated them and yeah, that's it. We're going to our second Paralympics, so it kind of went from there. But yeah, we got on very well from the start. Katie's very easy. You know, I'd always say in interviews, we're very different off the bike, different personality types completely. But, you know, we have, I suppose, the one vision that we always did together, I suppose, was to get that gold medal. And we kind of we're working hard to try and get one. It was difficult.
I'm sure. But it's a remarkable difference between being an individual athlete in such an individual sport as cycling is, to then going to being literally part of a team on the same bike.
Yeah, I found that transition, I find that easy, I have to be honest. I love the team aspect of it. Cycling as a solo rider, you know, it's a lonely sport, I suppose, if you're training on your own, unless you've been out with a group of people. But, you know, I train on my own a lot because of the children. I'm not always able to go out with a group of cyclists on their timeline. I have to go on my own. So I think when I got with Katie, I just enjoyed the team aspect of it. I enjoyed being part of the high performance team and the other guys on the team. So it wasn't, I didn't find that difficult at all. You know, I love going to training camps and there's just a great buzz about it. And yeah, I enjoy it. I think if I had been maybe 20 years younger getting into cycling, my goal might have been a domestique in the pro ranks. Maybe that would have been an ideal job for me, but I didn't start till I was in my late 30s. So yeah, I wish I had known about it earlier, I think.
Well, that's a pretty remarkable bit of detail. What got you into cycling in your late 30s?
In my early 30s, I did triathlon. So I took part in two Ironman events in between. I had two children. So it was a busy few years, but I think when my second daughter was born, I didn't have the time for three disciplines. And I was always stronger on the bike. So I said, look, the swim and running is going to have to go. So I stayed on the bike and that was it. Yeah, but I was just late coming to it, you know.
Were you competitive as a kid, like, you know, in your teens, were you a cyclist at that stage?
No, never. I didn't. I was able to ride a bike, I suppose, like most people, but no, didn't even know it existed. Didn't know. Triathlon was my first introduction into cycling with a local club, Satanta Triathlon Club here in Cullen, cycling club in Dundalk. But no, I had no idea it happened. There was always track and field. My brother is an amazing footballer, so you're always kind of, you know, in his shadow a bit, and he was crazy sports guy. So, but I always enjoyed the fun part of sport. I was never any good at track and field. You know, I was always kind of last and looking forward to the sandwiches that Mam took in the picnic with my friends. But no, I never really had that, I suppose, competitive edge. I just really enjoyed it, you know. So that was it, yeah.
There was obviously some kind of awakening, though, when someone started to talk about high performance, when the Ironman led you to a level of fitness that you were like, actually, hang on a second, I can do this and I can continue to get better at it.
Yeah, I think after the Ironman, my second Ironman did quite well. I feel I did quite a good Ironman. I had a great bike split. I kind of said, geez, maybe I'm good on this bike. And I think being asked by Neil to even try and be selected for the pilot, it gave me a confidence, I think, in myself. Maybe if somebody must have seen something there. So I'll go with it. And then when I did get tested, my results were pretty good. So then I suppose, like, all of that together, then I was like, oh, maybe I can do it. And it just completely changed my life around. It was like complete 360. Like, my job is, I'm a member of Angarda Síochána. So, like, it was a complete roller coaster of, everything changed. Like, two babies. I was working as a guard. This was, you know, given to me to maybe try and do something with it. And I didn't know what I was doing. I just said, I'll go for it and see what happens. And I don't have one regret. I love it. I absolutely love what I do. I really enjoy it.
So how did you get on in Rio?
Good. Rio was really good. We got gold in the time trial. Did not expect that. We had no idea. I was never at the Paralympics before. Katie had fifth and seventh place in London. So yeah, it was really unexpected. And that was our driving force, I think, for Tokyo then. That's kind of, it was like another kind of light. It was like, Jesus, okay, we do have something here. We're after winning. We just put out a really good ride. And then we got silver in the road race. That wasn't expected either. So yeah, and then we just kind of came back, and I never had any intentions of going to Tokyo. It was never in my plan, ever. And 5 years later, I'm still here. So yeah, sport is not a linear line. You know, there's a lot of ups and downs and twists and turns and just things you don't expect. But yeah, we're still, I'm older as well, you know, so that's always in the back of my mind, you know. But yeah, Rio was good, and it definitely made us push on for Tokyo.
And in terms of the level that you're at the moment versus the level you were at pre-Rio, is the performance that you're putting in at the moment as good as it was then?
Oh, we're better athletes than Rio, yeah. Oh, yeah, moved on big time. We've just trained so hard. I suppose we've had a longer period of time. We've been together now 7 years maybe. So look, we've all of that endurance built. You learn so much more about yourself every year, even every race you learn new things. You know, you never stop learning. We're better athletes, we're more focused. We know what works. We've great support in the Institute with nutrition and psych and physio and everything. There's a great team around us. And I suppose we just use all of those people and to try and get the best out of ourselves. But we're definitely better athletes since Rio, yeah, for sure.
So take that part of it, right? Then also take the fact that you've got the medals banked. Does that bring an enjoyment, an excitement, and a pressure? What's that ratio of enjoyment and anticipation that you have versus a little bit of, ooh, there's a bit of pressure here, we've got to make sure that we actually manage to deliver this time? How do you...
I don't really feel that pressure. So much has gone on, I think, in my life outside of sport that I kind of use sport as, therapy, I suppose, for myself. So if I'm in sport and I feel pressure to win, I wouldn't be in it, I don't think, for the right reasons. If the enjoyment is taken out of it for me, why am I there? We went in, we had the World Championships last weekend. We went in as four-time world champs. On the time trial, we were second. I didn't, you know, after that, I was like, right, they were second. Katie was disappointed. I was disappointed, but I got over it the following day. You know, that's, you know, you move on. You move on from it. And sorry, man at the door.
No worries.
You just move on from it. And I learn from the mistakes. I take full responsibility. I don't think I handled the bike very well. There was 47 corners. Haven't raced in 2 years, so we discuss after it, and I don't feel pressure to get that gold in Tokyo. I don't know why. Maybe I should feel a bit of pressure.
No, it's really interesting, because like, so were you always like this, or is this because you came late to the sports? Like
this I would have felt more pressure in Rio. As I said, I suppose I lost my father in 2017, and after that things changed. So I didn't, sport, as I said, is enjoyment. I work as hard as I can to get the most out of myself. And if a medal comes on the back of that, that's amazing. And if it doesn't, it doesn't. Life moves on. You know, it's only sport at the end of the day. It has given me, I can step away from the guards for a couple of years. I'm on a career break to leave my children to school, collect them, make dinner. So I'm in a very privileged position. You know, sport has given me that. So that's why it's like, I don't feel pressure then, I think. Because I know I've done all I can.
Yeah.
I'm going to line up at the start line full of confidence, knowing I've ticked every single box to be in the best possible shape as I can be to be here. Katie has done exactly the same. Full confidence that she's there in the best possible shape, because our coach has us there to race and to win. But if something happens, something happens, and I can't control that. So I can only control what I can control, and that is to get there in the best shape that I can. Well, and if a medal comes in the back of that, that's amazing.
The conviction that you've done everything you possibly can, it brings calmness.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I'm nervous, don't get me wrong.
Ah, yeah.
Like, I'll be nervous, but
excitement.
It won't be a nervous... I'm excited, yeah. Nervously excited, I suppose. Yeah.
And
but
so
it's not a pressure.
Look, it's a remarkable story, and I think people will really rally behind everything you've talked about this morning. I think it's also really interesting when people discover things that were latent in them late in life, and then managed to deliver on their potential in the way that you have. I think it's a real lesson to people, like, to go for whatever is available to them whenever something is available to them, and not think, ah, look, it's too late, or that's passed me by, or my chance was when I was 10 years younger or 20 years younger.
Yeah, I agree. And it's not, you know, I'm 43 now next month, and my numbers, I'm still getting better. I don't know how much better I'll get, but, like, there's still, you know, I'm still hitting numbers that I haven't hit, you know, 12 months ago, you know, so I haven't slowed down. So I was just, I suppose, to encourage anybody to just go for it. And I try and instill that in the kids, just go for it. You don't know what's going to happen, you know, and yeah, I think we're never too late to try anything, really, are we?
And to enjoy the journey on the way.
Oh, I love it. Absolutely love it. Yeah. I really enjoy it. I enjoy what I do.
And I guess the other thing is that in all sports careers, you know, Father Time is undefeated is the cliche. Like, you do know that there's a limited amount of times that you're going to be able to do this at this level. Does that bring mm-hmm. some clarity and joy, or is there a sadness around that?
No, it's like, I was like, I suppose after this, like, I'm saying to Kate, I'm not going to Paris. Don't ask me. I'm not going. So we just make that, you know, clear. But, like, I'm still saying I could do another Ironman, you know, because that's, like, longer and slower. So I always have these, you know, I have other things in my head that I'd like to do. So sport will always be part of my life, because I suppose it's definitely the best medicine, the best happiness. I'm, you know, I really enjoy it. So I'm not just going to, you know, hang up my cycling shoes. I'll definitely get back into the pool and try and shuffle my way around a run. I'll find something else.
I've got to ask you, you talked about your brother and the lads were digging. So was he on the booklet leads? Is that right? Have we got the right brand?
Yes, he was, yes. Yeah. So I had to live up to that all my life. Do you know how hard that was?
I'd say pretty hard.
And then he's a record, or the Irish record holder for Ironman. Yeah, so I think he's pretty amazing, but he's a great sportsman, yes. Yeah. So he was with Leeds for years, yeah.
And how many Olympic gold medals does he have?
Oh, no, he doesn't have any of those.
Well, there you go. You're you know, I think it's, you know, there's swings and roundabouts here. But I'm interested, like, you know, when he was a kid, obviously, there was far more very clear pathways for him to use his clear genetic talents.
Yeah.
Do you feel like if it had been the same for you when you were 12 to 15, and if someone had recognized your talent as a cyclist at that point, or do you think things are different now? I guess I'm kind of, everything always comes back to the 20 by 20 campaign and how we just need to make sure that whatever gains were made in that are actually filtering down for various people. Like, because look, participation is the single most important thing, and having fun after that. But there's also probably some elite athletes who were missing out on.
Oh, absolutely. And as you said, the 2020 campaign is massive. Like, visibility is key. And if cycling had been there when I was younger, yes, I might have tried it. Like, as well as being a brilliant footballer, Brian is an unbelievable cyclist. So it must be in the genes. So if it had been there when we were, you know, 15, 16, and we tried it, like, God knows where we would have been. And the, you know, I started a race on Sunday, the first race of the National Road Series in Limerick, and Sunday was there, and I saw loads of new faces, you know, faces that I haven't seen before. And, like, that's brilliant. And I do think it comes, as you said, with the 2020 campaign, the visibility is key, and to put cycling out there for people to see and try it, because you don't know what talent is there, you know? So, it's good.
Mm. Triathlon is the gateway drug as well for loads of people into stuff.
Oh, yeah, like, triathlon's massive, isn't it, really? You know, and they're just, it's huge. The clubs around the country are just, they're just growing and growing, and especially for women in sport, is to just take it in and try, and, you know, don't be afraid and don't let things put you off. And I think that there's a big fear element for women. I think Cycling Ireland ran the Bike Like Me programme during COVID, and I did them in my training room on a Monday night. You know, I had an hour of indoor bike sessions, and I think there was the first block was 800 women registered.
Wow.
You know, in all different parts of the country. It was huge, you know, and them women are there for enjoyment. Some of them want to race, some of them just want to go for coffee on the bike to meet their friends, and there's so many different aspects of cycling, you know. So, yeah, visibility is definitely key.
Well, listen, you're a brilliant ambassador for it, and we wish you the very best of luck. Loads of comments coming in. What a woman, best of luck in Tokyo, says Hugo. Paul O'Connor says, what an inspiration, best of luck. Yeah, even Katie. We're counting down now in weeks as opposed to months before you're actually getting on the plane. So what happens now in the meantime? Do you have any, like, final races? Do you taper down? Like, are you in the midst of a quite hardcore training session at the moment? How's that working?
No, we're going to Mallorca on Sunday, this Sunday coming, for a training camp, 2.5 weeks. So I'm looking forward to that. I hate being away from the kids, but I'm going. And it's 2.5 weeks, so that'll be intense. And then we're home for 2 weeks and then we're away. We've a holding camp before we head into Tokyo. So, no, it's pretty intense, I suppose, from now in. And that makes a flyby, I think, as well. You know, it's just... you're just ticking off each day and trying to recover as best you can. But, like, unfortunately for Irish athletes, we have to go to Mallorca to train because we don't have a velodrome in this country. So yesterday, actually, myself and Katie went to Sundrive, our outdoor velodrome. It's the first time we've been in anything like that in 18 months. So it's, I said before, it's like the swimmers have been expected to swim and with no swimming pool. So hopefully we'll get a velodrome soon. But we don't have one, and we have to go to Mallorca to train. So that's where we're going next week. So I'm looking forward to that.
Well, enjoy the trip. I'm sure your kids, like the rest of the country, are very proud. Eve, thanks a million for joining us. Cheers.
Thanks for having me. Bye.
That was brilliant. That's Eve McChrystal there talking to us about the cycling in the Paralympics. And obviously we'll be keeping a very close eye on that as things move between now and then.
The OTB Podcast Network with Get Set Go. Quickstar car insurance you can sort anytime, online, then bounce on with your day. Get a quote today at getsetgo.ie.